As you're opening your Bible this morning, we find ourselves in Revelation, the book of Revelation, and we see in Revelation chapter 15 is where we'd like to look at this morning. In chapter 15 of Revelation, in chapter 15 and verse 1 of Revelation, the Bible says, "Then I saw another sign in the heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass and having the harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And they sang, saying, great and marvelous are your works, God Almighty, just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." Father, we are grateful for the Word of God. It is life. And I pray right now, Lord, and I believe with all of my heart, without faith, it's impossible to please God. In faith, I believe that through your Spirit and with your Word, you're going to speak to each one of us, each of us that have a heart and an ear to hear what you have to say. And it's just not information that's going out. It's the living Word of God. It's our hope. It's our refuge. It's our strength. It's our future. It's our life. And I believe wholeheartedly that no matter where you are at right now in life, whatever may be pressing in upon you, whatever you may be overwhelmed with, whatever uncertainty that you're battling with, whatever prayers have not been answered that you've been agonizing over, take hope. God will minister to you right now, this morning. I know he already has, but he has more to say. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And it's a great joy to have our Colorado team with us as we've expressed our appreciation. Thank you so much for being here again this year. You know, I've given an illustration in the past, but it fits real well this morning because it was when I was in Colorado. It was when I was in Colorado in 1978, and I had not yet given my life to Jesus Christ. And I had some friends of mine. We lived in Fort Collins, Colorado, and there's a canyon called Poudre Canyon. Some of you might know where that's at. And we decided to go up Poudre Canyon to go fishing, to go camping, just have a good time. Again, not as believers, my group of friends, but we went up there. And we were up on a bluff, and we'd set up our tent, and we could see down below and across the river and in another area there. There was a young family setting up their camp, and their little daughter had an inner tube, and she sat in it. As we were driving up the canyon that day, it had signs up, and they'd been posted up that season because the water was very strong. And they did not want people with floating devices in the water at all for their safety. And this little girl was just playing down by the beach. Parents were setting up the tent. Unbeknownst to them, the little girl sat in the inner tube and in the water. In a matter of seconds, she was already moving down, and we could see her, and we were alarmed. What possibly could happen to this little girl? And so all of us guys were up on this embankment but saw her going around. And then there were some trees across the river, whether they were knocked down by beavers or what, I don't know, but there was trees in the water there. And in this inner tube, when she hit those trees, she flipped over and was gone in the water. Couldn't see her. All of us guys ran down the embankment. We had our hands across the logs that were out there, and guys were reaching down, and these little fingers came up out of the water, and she was grabbed quickly by one of my friends. And she was brought up out of the water. We did not have to do any resuscitation. I don't even understand today why. But we passed her to the next person, the next person, the next person. We wrapped her in a blanket. And her parents became aware. Obviously, the daughter was gone and saw the commotion and then came up to where we were at. And here she was just, okay, wrapped in a blanket, snug, and just handed this child back to mom and dad right there. That moment's been captivated in my life. Because we live in a time where God has made a declaration. He is saying loud and clear, warning, 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 warning. Be careful. These are areas not to go into. It looks enticing and it looks good and it looks like it won't hurt at all, and it's just enticing as the water was. Because that water did not look as though it had that kind of surge to it. Everything was underneath it. And this world has a great proposition to come and to partake and to enjoy. And you can get out of it and it's not that strong and you'll be fine. And all of a sudden you're down under and you're wondering if you're going to make it or not. And I thank God for the Lamb of God. Because when I was drowning in my sin, when I had capsized in this life, there was only one place to reach, and it was up. And God did not slap my hand down. He grabbed it. And he held me to himself. And he didn't reject me. And he didn't scold me or condemn me. I knew my condition. I knew I didn't have to be reminded how miserable I was, how rebellious I was. And that Lamb of God has held me. And that Lamb of God still holds you. And that Lamb of God speaks his word to you, speaks his truth to you. And that Lamb of God is presenting you as his child, as his representative to this world in which we live. And God wrote a book for us, and it's called the Book of Revelation. And he says that in the end, there's going to be a time where no one anymore puts their hand up for help. Instead of putting their hand up for help, they don't do that anymore. They put their hand up towards God and are fighting against God. And they hate God. And they despise God. And they battle against God. And Revelation tells us about that. Revelation tells us about a period of time in the future, a 7-year period of time, a 7-year period of time where there's certain types of judgments from God. We saw that there's the judgments called the sealed judgments. We saw that in Revelation chapter 6. And those judgments come out and they're devastating, but God is still seeing that through those judgments, that hands are going up and hands are being saved. And he has 144,000 people in chapter 7. 144,000 sealed Jewish people that are used by him to go out to the world, proclaim the gospel, and see God rescue them in the tribulation period, because God is merciful, because God is love, because God doesn't want to see anybody perish. And then, not only are there the sealed judgments, there's what is known as the trumpet judgments. Again, 7 different type of judgments called the trumpet judgments. And the last of the 7th of the 7 trumpet judgment, the last, will introduce the bowl, B-O-W-L, the bowl judgment. And that's right where we're at. You see, the bowl judgments, when they come, we have 3 series of judgments: the seal, the trumpet, and the bowl judgments. These bowl judgments, this vial, this wrath of God that's going to be poured out through those bowl judgments, it's a time when no one's hand is raised up for help anymore. It's the absolute wrath of God. It's just God's wrath against all ungodliness. Perhaps the best way to explain it is this. I think we've all seen reservoirs. Reservoirs are so needed. Reservoirs, they hold back water. And that water is used in such a productive way. It can create energy, electricity. It can be released to go to fields and to water fields, supply water for us. But let's say, for example, that there is severe weather conditions, so severe that that reservoir behind the dam is filling up. And now it's starting to flow over the top of the reservoir, over the dam. And as it flows over and comes down through the valley, there is destruction that takes place. You follow me with this. The best way that I can illustrate is that the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments is as though the water is flowing over the dam and there is great destruction, there is great warning, there's a great reality to what's happening. But the last judgment, the bowl judgment, the dam breaks completely and nobody can stand at all. In chapter 15, that's right where we're at, right before that happens. So before that happens, this group of called tribulation saints, remember, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we are not in this portion of Scripture. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we are in heaven. Before the tribulation, God gathers his church to be with him in heaven during this 7-year last tribulation period on earth. Are you following me? So we're in heaven. We saw that in Revelation 4 and 5. And in heaven, you saw the songs in heaven that are being sung before the throne of God. But during this 7-year tribulation period, people come to Christ. I believe that the Bible speaks about a tremendous harvest during those 7 years. Tremendous. So they're called tribulation saints. So just like you're called a saint as a believer right now, that term applies. And saint is also used in the Old Testament. So saint means a follower of Christ. You're committed to Christ. The tribulation saints are those who get saved during the tribulation period and they die a martyr's death and they're before the throne of God in heaven. Do you follow me? So prior to this final bowl judgment wrath that's going to take place, we get the privilege. We get the privilege this morning for the scriptures to be opened up. We get the privilege and an invitation to say, come up to heaven, and I want to show you what's going on in heaven before this last series of judgments on earth. Are you following me? Okay. So when we look at chapter 15, John is writing, and he says, you know, I saw another sign in heaven, and these signs refer to in chapter 12, 1 and chapter 12, verse 3, speaks about it. Marvelous signs, chapter 15, verse 1, having the 7 last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. Now, the wrath of God is complete. When Christ died on the cross, he said, it is what? Finished. That means it is what? Complete. Correct? That there's no need anymore for him to go to the cross and die for us. It is complete. It was prophesied. It was predicted. And he came and completed that work. Do you agree with me? Absolutely. There is another work that's going to take place. And it's the wrath of God against all ungodliness. And that work is going to also be a completed work. Complete. Not an evolving work, a completed work. Everything that God does, he completes. He, Philippians 1, he, 1:6, he who began a good work in you will complete it. So that work of salvation's a done deal. But he's working his work in and through you. Not salvation. We'd be more like him and about what he has. I'm going to take it one step further here. If you're following me, this little piece that's next could be very significant in how you share Christ. Because people in the church and outside of the church do not believe that God created everything. He did not create everything. And they have different philosophies, perhaps evolution or some Big Bang theory. They have a theory. Even within the church, there are those that believe in theistic evolution, which means, well, I believe that God created everything, but he used evolution to do the creation. That's false. That is completely false. Now, just stay with me. Stay with me. If Christ's work on the cross, everything will go back to the cross. Everything goes to the cross. If his work on the cross, it is finished and it is complete, is true, so is his creative work in Genesis. It's a finished, complete work. It is not an evolving work. Christ is not going back on the cross anymore. It's done and finished creation. He spoke it, it's done, and it is finished. It's complete. Now, God's always working in us and through us, but that created process is complete, as will that final process at the end of Revelation, tribulation, the wrath of God. It will be a completed work. You with me on that? It's great news. You see, these people in heaven are looking, and you'll see in verse 2 that it's complete. They're serving a God. It's complete. It's finished. He said he'd do what he'd do. He's completed it. They stayed faithful. And notice in verse 2, they are there because they have the victory over the beast. Think about what they've been through. This Antichrist and the false prophet, we saw it already. And the devastation they did to the world, the one world government. And God is saying, look, world, you come to me, world, and you say, I don't want to believe in a God. My God is a God that is all-loving God. That's the God I believe in. And when I look at this world, I see suffering. I see wars. I see hatred. And you tell me that you believe in God? And you believe in a God of love? And then you look at all of this? How can I believe? If that's your God, how can I believe in your God? That's not my God. I like to say that you've created your own God. And if I'm around you long enough, your God's going to look more like you than the one reported in here. Why? Listen, here's the answer. There has never been a moment in human history where the love of God is not being poured out. There's never a moment where the love of God isn't being poured out. Here's the problem. The problem is the rejection of the love of God. Every time he has called you to himself, every time he's asking, you reject him. And God is just saying in Revelation, in tribulation, look, world, you got what you wanted. You wanted a world without God. You wanted a world without my lordship or my leadership. You wanted to call the shots. You wanted it your way. And there it is. You have it your way now. And then when all the believers and tribulation believers are with the Lord, and the angel with the everlasting gospel has gone through to every person, nation, tribe, and tongue, and has proclaimed the gospel, it's certain then to everybody that those that are to be saved are saved, and those that will be rejected have rejected. And we get back here, and we see them in heaven, and they're playing music in heaven, and in verse 3, they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God. So we have to say, what? And so we go back to Exodus chapter 15, and the question is, I didn't know Moses was into singing. Yeah, he was. Really? Absolutely. Is it in the Bible? Of course it is. Where? It's in Exodus 15. You mean Moses, with 1 million, 2 million people, was singing? Yeah, when they crossed the Red Sea. When they crossed the Red Sea, chapter 15 of Exodus. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider was thrown into the sea. Imagine Pharaoh's army coming after them. The sea parted. They're on the other side. They probably have grandstand seats. Whatever elevation they're at, they see clearly. So God has delivered this million, 2 million, whatever the number is, through the Red Sea. And then they see what God judges these people. Remember, God came to Pharaoh 10 different times. 10 different times. Go God's way, not your way. Don't test God. God has given us every opportunity to follow him. It reminds me in the ministry of Jesus in Matthew's gospel, because Matthew's gospel in 24 and 25, it speaks about these end times. Matthew 24 looks a lot like a lot of Revelation that we're teaching through, Jesus speaking to his disciples. But in chapter 25 of Matthew, he gives a parable, an illustration, and he says that there are 10 virgins, and they're waiting for the bridegroom to come, waiting for Jesus to come, the bridegroom. Remember, the church is the bride, waiting for the bridegroom. And out of the 10, when Jesus came, only 5 had the oil for the lamps, only 5. And the other 5 did not. They were not watchful. They were not attentive. We can catch it some other day, some other time. And they says, give us some of yours. He says, we can't. We have what's been given to us. And it tells us that the door was shut and there was no opportunity. And we need to take that to heart, that we're living in times right now. And I really believe, and I'm saddened as a pastor, I'm saddened in my heart to see so many that I don't think, you know, there's much oil for the lamp. There's not much of the Holy Spirit of God coming in and through their lives. Moses would sing this song, the Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. He's my God, and I will praise him. He's my Father God, and I will exalt him. It tells us in verse 3 of Exodus 15, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord's his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he cast into the sea. And those chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, and they sank to the bottom like a stone. Verse 11, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? So I'm wondering, how about for you? And how about for me? Is there a song of praise because God has provided deliverance for you? Is there a song of praise? Or do we just march on? Or do we stop and say, wait a minute, God, I don't know how I got through this class. I will sing praises to you. You delivered me from an F. I don't know. I just thank you, Lord. You know how I was praying and others were praying. And Lord, it has been so long, but you provided a job for me. Thank you, God. A deliverance, a provision from you. Lord, we've been praying for this person and they just don't seem to want to come to you. But now they're inquiring. Now there's a stirring. Now there's an interest. Now there's a heart for Jesus. I praise you for that, God. You see, are we silent in our praises? We agonize in our pleas, but are we silent in our praises? And Moses is the example. And then we see back in our text today in Revelation 15, we see what they're saying about God. Marvelous are your works. And I would say here, the application is sitting right here before us. Thank you so much. A cold water in Jesus' name. Bless you, brother. But just follow me right here with the application. Look at in Revelation 15. We want to change our heart and our attitude towards God. We're going to use the W as our key. Notice, in verse 3, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Can we this week, can we today, can we often ask maybe our spouse or friend, what works is God doing in your life? How is God working in our lives? What's the work of God? And if you say, there is no work of God, I believe we need to be before God in humility, because God is always at work. Well, I don't see anything. You know something? The work of God is that He has given you His grace to keep praying, His grace to keep trusting, His grace. The work of God. God is always at work. The moment we say He's not at work, then we're not seeing God for who He is. He is at work. He worked to save us by going to the cross. He who began a good work is faithful to complete it. We're His workmanship in Christ Jesus for good works that He's prepared beforehand, that we'd walk in them. Second thing, again, verse 3, it's a W word. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Not only is He always at work, but His work is to show you which way to go. And we all are involved in making important decisions. How do I respond? Which way do I go? What do you have for me, Lord? What is your way? Temptation comes upon you, and God says, I'm going to show you a better way. You had no decisions, and now you have three. And it's not eeny, meeny, miny, mo. It's God, which way do you want me to go? Works, ways. Well, Pastor, I just don't happen to see a W. I see worship down there, but there seems to be a little more information before that. Well, no wonder, because the word is wonder. In verse 4, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy. It's your works and it's your ways. And because of your lordship, I'm in wonder over you. I'm not wondering about you. I'm in wonder over you. You're beyond comprehension. Lord, such a beautiful morning. Sunset last night. All the things you do, wondrous are your ways and your works. And then verse 4, you can see the word worship. For all the nations shall come and worship before you. We worship before Him because He is worthy of our worship. He's worthy. Why is He worthy? Because this wrath, the dam at the end here is ready to break, and the great wrath of God, the bold judgments, are just going to take everyone out at this point. We're seeing what happens just before that. And why do we worship Him? Because I should be standing behind that dam, and I deserve that punishment. I deserve that wrath of God for my sins. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus said, I love you too much. I'll stand on the other side of that dam. And I'll have my hands nailed to a cross. I'll have thorns put on my head. I'll be stabbed in the side with a sword. I'll shed my blood for your sins. I'll take the wrath you deserved on me. And He did that. And that's why we worship Him, because He's worthy of our worship. When we put our hand up, amen, when we put our hand up out of that water, drowning It was the Lamb who was worthy to rescue us. It wasn't some bystander. It was God, whose eyes have never left us. He's just been waiting for us. You know, there's a universal sign. It doesn't matter where you're at in the world. There's a universal sign. You don't have to use words. There's a universal sign throughout the world. And the universal sign is this, which means surrender. And it's also a sign of worship, that I surrender to you. It's also when we hold up our hand and allow the Lord to come. So I pray that as we really consider this week, our works and our ways, He is wonderful, the wonder of God and the worship before God, that our lives for Jesus would be ones where we have a new song to sing for Him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do ask, Lord Jesus, right now, that you would help us at this time. It's so important, Lord, for us, myself included. I'm a part of the body of Christ, and I'm a part of this church. And it's so important for us to be looking to you. And God, I call out to you. I petition, I plea on behalf of our fellowship. I know, God, that the brothers and sisters here, they're very sincere. They love you. But I know that life and the pressures of life are greater than they've ever experienced. And Lord, I'm aware of that. And I'm aware of it not in a condescending way. I'm aware of it in a way of just asking, lifting them up, lifting up your body, lifting up your people to you right now and saying, God, Lord Jesus, be patient. Work your work. Let them know today how much you love them. Lord, I'm lifting them up that your work would be they could receive the grace of God and the peace of God. I'm lifting them up before you, God, because it's confusing. And they're looking to make right decisions in the midst of confusion. God, speak to your children today. Show them your way. Lord, we want to be men and women that stand in awe of God, the wonder of God. And Lord, an area that we must grow in personally in our lives, outside of being together with anyone else, is in the worship. We need to worship you, Lord. We want to worship you. And I pray, God, that you would show us how to express to you, thank you for your hand of deliverance. Thank you for lifting us up when we are drowning. Thank you for setting our feet on solid ground. Lord, cause us to be worshipers of you like never before. In Jesus' name. Amen.